Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. A group of Indigenous women are living their days in extended ceremony as part of a commitment to praying for the waters of the Missouri River. It's an opportunity to witness, to learn, and to build a prayerful relationship with water. Sharon Day heads the Indigenous Peoples Task Force. She joins us now. Sharon, welcome.
Thank you. Also, good morning.
Also with you, we have Shoshana. Is that correct?
Right.
Hi.
Hi there.
All right. Sharon, the music that we just heard is a water song. Tell me a little bit more about that.
It was a song that came to me on the Ohio River Water Walk, and what it says in Ojibwe is, we walked for the water, sacred water.
Tell me a little bit about your overall journey now with the Missouri. Where are you at right now? Where are you going? Where have you been?
Well, we began on August 1st in Three Forks, Montana, and today we are just a couple miles west of Springfield, South Dakota.
And where are you headed? What's ahead for you?
Well, we're headed continuing downstream, and we expect to be at the confluence near St. Louis, Missouri, around September 26th or 27th.
So let's go to Shoshana for a minute. Tell me, what are your days like? What, you know, walk me through the process of this sort of extended ceremony.
Well, we start early in the morning, sometimes before the sun comes out. We start where we had touched down the previous day before. And then we sing our Nibi song. And the first walker takes off walking, and we take turns in relay. And while we're walking, every step is a prayer, and we pray about, you know, for our families, for our future generation, and for all people.
Is this something, Sharon, that you're in conversation during the walk? Are you silent during the walk? What does that look like from the outside?
I ask the walkers to be silent when they're walking so that, you know, they can offer prayers. But it's more of a walking meditation, and we're sending, you know, what we say in that Nibi song is, water, we love you, we thank you, we respect you. And so we begin our day singing that song, and as we walk, you know, that is the message that we're sending to the Missouri River. We love you, we thank you, we respect you, because without water, there would be no life.
Are you carrying water with you, Sharon? Are you within eyesight of the water? How do you stay physically connected to the river along the journey?
Well, partly we are the river, because we've been drinking the Missouri River water since we began, but we do carry the water that we collected at the headwaters in a copper vessel. And it's covered, and on top of the handle is a GPS that follows us as we walk. So we can't physically be next to the river, although, like, we're fairly close to the river today. But, you know, at the moment we can't see her. But we have the river with us in the copper vessel. So it does require some discipline mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and of course physically, to do these walks, especially these walks that are such an extended period of time. You know, things still happen in the world. We're aware of, you know, the hurricane in Florida. Mm-hmm. We walk through, you know, 300,000 acres of burned prairie and Montana. So we're aware of things that are happening in the world, and also within our personal lives. You know, there are tragedies that occur, you know, so we think about these things that are happening both in the world, and also things that are happening within our own personal lives, but always coming back to, you know, this thought that we have to the water spirit, you know, that we love you, we thank you, and we respect you.
Shoshana, how do you prepare for the physicality of the journey, and how do you prepare spiritually?
Well, you know, with how I live, I always am praying spiritually. And to prepare myself physically, you know, I take walks every day and drink water, plenty of water to flush my system. And like I said, you just pray every single day.
Mm-hmm. Sharon, other rivers, other communities, you've done these sort of walks other places. Tell me about that.
Well, this is the 14th walk that I've led. And so we've walked on the Mississippi River, the Ohio, the James River in Virginia, Cuyahoga. We've walked, in smaller rivers as well, the Minnesota River in Minnesota. And we tried to focus on the rivers that are dealing with, like, immediate threats, and that are, you know, the Ohio's and one of the biggest polluters of the Mississippi River. So we try to focus on those areas where we believe that there's an imminent threat and ongoing pollution to those rivers. And, you know, what our reasoning is that, you know, when we as humans come into the world, you know, we only have gifts. I mean, every baby, who can argue that every baby is sacred? And with only gifts, and but as humans, you know, we trade some of those gifts for other things as we age. But the river, and you know, comes into the world pure and sacred as well. But it's we humans who pollute her, and so when we gather that water at the headwaters, you know, it's coming out of the earth, and it's fairly clean there, and we carry that clean water to the mouth of the river, in this case, the confluence with the Mississippi, and we give the river a little taste of herself, and we tell her, you know, this is how you began, and this is how we wish for you to be again.
Hmm. What's that moment like for you? That's got to be pretty powerful.
Well, I tell you, yesterday there were some young women from near
Marty,
South Dakota, who came on horseback, and they, you know, we gave over the water to them to carry on horseback for a while. And that moment when I handed them our water, it's as though you're handing this infant over to somebody else and trusting that they will take care of it and get it to where it's going. And so there is that moment, and I think when we pour that water into the headwaters, there is always some feeling of sadness because, you know, you've been with that water for so long and you've protected it and taken care of it. And, you know, it's like when my grandson went away to school, you know, to college, it was that. You know, he kept saying, "And Graham, when you drop me off, don't cry." And then, you know, his mother called after I had only gotten about a block away, and of course I cried.
Yeah.
And, but you know, like, that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, that was what you intended on doing. And that's time to, you know, give it back to the river. But there is that feeling it is quite overwhelming.
Shoshana, are you able to have conversations with people in the river towns along the way? Are there conversations you're having with people who ask you what you're doing? What are you learning?
Yes, we have people that stop us as we're walking alongside the road, and they ask you what are you doing, and we tell them we're praying for the water, we're walking for the water for our future generations. Only those that are, you know, that are interested to see what we're doing or what we're carrying, we have those conversations with.
Sharon, is there ever a time that you're on the water? Do you spend any time sort of waterbound?
Some rivers where it's been too dangerous to walk, and certain mountain areas, you know, we've rafted or moved it by canoe, and Right now we're working on creating this floating lodge that will be powered by pedals.
Okay.
And we hope to do that when we got to Sioux City, but it's not quite, it hasn't been perfected yet. So, but at some point we will do that.
What impacts on the river itself are you seeing, Sharon? Are there things that you, is it all things that you sort of expected to see, or have there been surprises as you did this walk?
No, it's pretty much the same across the United States. Some places it's, you know, it's there's more devastation, but, you know, I think one of the biggest causes of pollution to the waterways right now is agriculture.
Hmm.
You know, every minute of every day we have a runoff from agriculture going into streams, tributaries, and then ultimately into Missouri and then into the Mississippi and then into the Gulf, where, you know, when the Mississippi reaches the Gulf of Mexico, you know, there's a dead zone because the water's been so depleted of oxygen.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Sharon and Shoshana, and they're doing a walk, which is an extended, they're spending their days in extended ceremony as part of this commitment to pray for the waters of the Missouri River. You can find more about their journey at nibiwalk.org. That's nibiwalk.org. And Sharon, I'm wondering if other people can come along. Is this a female thing? Is this a Native American thing only? What's your outreach look like?
Yeah. No, we, you know, we have just about everybody walks with us at some point. Men carry the eagle feather staff, women carry the water. If there are no, like today, there are no men present, so, you know, women can do both. Mm-hmm. And but women only carry the water. And we have, today we have 6 of us that are walking today. 2 are... European descent, and the rest of us are various, we're Ojibwe, Dakota, and Lakota. And as we've gone through, you know, tribal communities, people have come out and joined us. When we get to Sioux City, Iowa, there's a group of students that'll join us. People come out from the Twin Cities. And as we proceed on down, you know, we have contacts with people at Columbia University, just, you know, a lot of different people come and join us. And just to carry that water for a little ways, you know, I've seen people cry, you know, when they carry that. And it's, you know, just a deep connection to the water. Like I said, if...
Yeah, what does that say to you, that moment when somebody who, you know, is that a connection that they've lost? Is that something that surprises them? What does it mean to you when someone sort of carries that water and ends up becoming emotional quickly?
I think that it's a reconnection, right? Mm. Because, you know, we're born in water. We live in water for the first 9 months, and come into the world in this gush of water. And but you know, when I was a kid, I had to carry the water. And the first thing we did in the morning, first thing we did at night, went to the well and gathered water. And as you know, we've become more technology, you know, all you have to do is turn on the faucet, and so we sort of take it for granted. So when you're in this prayer and you're carrying the water, you know, it is a spiritual experience for people. And so I think helping people to make that reconnection and to move forward in the spirit of love. You know, I tell folks, you know, this is not a protest. I spent my whole life protesting, and I do believe, like, there are times where we need to speak out. You know, like the whole and DACA thing. Like, we all need to, you know, say something about, we need to be concerned about social justice. And so we need to step up and speak out about those things. But this walk is a movement forward in bringing as many people as we can in the spirit of love. Because ultimately, that we only protect that which we care about. And we should all care about the water.
Give me an idea of a takeaway for the rest of us, people who are, you know, listening now in their cars or at work. They're not out there taking this walk. What do you want to say to them, Sharon?
I would say, like, the next time you have a glass of water, try saying thank you to that water. And think about maybe, like, three simple things that you can do to protect some of our water. You can conserve water. There are so many ways that we can do that. You know, we can use water more than once. And but more importantly, you know, we can be grateful and really try to see it as this living entity. If we could treat the water with love and respect, we might be able to treat each other that way as well.
Sharon Day and Shoshana, thank you so much for being with us today. Good luck on your journey.
Thank you.